On season 2, episode 5, we'll have our Instagram spotlight, BG's bits, and our Sunday showcase.
I don't know who you are, but welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Sit back, relax, and listen about cameras, gear, settings, stories, and all things photography. Join Dermot and Darren on Ireland's Best Photography Podcast. Let's go.
I'll go.
This is going to be an interesting one tonight, man.
Oh. Hello and welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. I am laughing because I'm absolutely making a balls of all these intros. So you're only going to hear the good one. Hi, Darren. How are you, buddy?
I'm marvellous, man, marvellous. Good start to the podcast there, dear. But you got to leave that in, man. That's like, you know what I mean? That's golden, golden.
Oh, man, I've just, yeah. For our listeners, I've tried to do an intro about 5 times at this stage and I keep messing up, but it's all good. It's all good.
So, yeah, you've made me, you know, really enjoy the start of this evening's episode anyway. And I think it's going to be an interesting one because for a change, it's really focusing on the listeners and the people in the community that's being created and growing on a very fast basis around the podcast. So, you know, you came up with an idea a couple of weeks back there, which I think was a fantastic idea. So now today is for the second person, I suppose, in regards to that. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. So basically what we've done, if you're new to the podcast, guys, we have what's called Instagram Profile Spotlight. Is it profile? Instagram
Spotlight.
It's going to take a while to get the hang of this, guys. I'm sorry. So last, about 3 weeks ago, we had a girl. I can't remember her name. Jeez, I'm making a wreck of this now. What was her name again? You can't remember either, can you? Oh, my God. This is great. But anyway, we had a girl on. You know, but she's actually a very good photographer. So we're moving on to our second one now. I know it's only 3 weeks later. We said we do the first podcast every month, but Darren has went away and have made a lovely, great schedule. So we're going to keep that from now on, Noah. So we're doing it this week. So we won't be doing it again for another 4 weeks. But this week's Instagram
Lauren
spotlight,
Kilner.
Lauren Kilner. That was it. That was it. This week's Instagram spotlight is from a guy called Roman Diver. All one word, R-O-M-A-N-D-I-V-E-R. So his name is Marco Cellini, and I actually personally know Marco. And under his in his biography, it says that he's a product manager for a living, and he keeps his passion for coffee, photography, and diving for sanity. He's an easy dive ambassador, and all his images are his and copyrighted. That's his biography. So a really, really nice guy. And I'm a bit shocked because he's only got 109 followers.
What, really? That, I never even looked at that when we looked at the profile.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a bit surprised. So maybe he's not that active on Instagram. So maybe he should make a more conscious effort to make more of a push. Because this day and age now, I think Facebook is a dying dinosaur. And I think Instagram is here to stay for now anyway. And I think that's what's going to be driving force of images.
Well, look, I think Instagram is something that's going to take over from an image point of view, if it now hasn't already, because it's an image dedicated platform and that's purely what it's about. Whereas Facebook is about pictures of everything and adverts and annoyance and people get turned off from that. So, yeah, Instagram, I think, is a very good platform. It's going to become a very, I suppose, important platform from a photography point of view, but I'm very surprised he has so little followers. So,
yeah.
I mean, some of the photographs that he have there are incredible. And you know what? Look, the idea of doing the Instagram spotlight is to help him along. Let's get him some more followers and people can see the amount of work that's there. What sort of imagery attracted you? Other than, I know it's going to be the diving images, but what image particularly would have attracted you to say, you know what, this profile is phenomenal, or is it a multitude of images?
It's a multitude of images, really, and all his images kind of work as a team. Now, he does some product photography, like he says. He's very passionate about coffee, which is really, really cool. And then he's got some videos done. He's got some random photographs, which is totally got to know nothing, and he's got some sheep photographs of Ireland. So he's got a nice selection, a different genre of all types of photography. So he's not a one-trick pony, Darren, like yourself. So he gets out and about, he does different things, you know. But it was the diving that kind of caught my eye, and he's got this one image of a stingray with a diver in the background. And it's just
unreal,
absolutely phenomenal. First and foremost, me personally, I've never seen a stingray, so I'm quite dead jealous. And the picture was taken in El Hierro, Isla Canaries. So obviously in the Canary Islands. So I definitely have to get back and hopefully see a stingray someday.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the photographs that I really, really was attracted to when I looked at the profile. But there's another photograph as well that he's taken earlier on. And I do like the whole aspect of minimalism. There's a
you
frog.
You got a frog in your get throat out. There, boy, is there?
Yeah, he was very croaky there for a couple of minutes. But, you know, I do like the aspect of minimalism that he creates in his imagery. And there's a couple of photographs there of divers on their own in the water, just floating in the yes. water, which are really, yeah. really nice. And some of the light rays that he has coming down through as well are absolutely phenomenal. So, you know, it really kind of brings you into the image, but very simple, lots of negative space, but they work. They're really yeah. good.
And it's actually quite, it's not as easy as you think to shoot a light ray underwater like it is above water. It's much more easier, you know?
I would imagine so. I mean, I can't ever say that I've done it. I can remember seeing it under the water when I was diving.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to photograph it is going to be a difficult one, I think, yeah. But you know what? I think a very deserving spotlight for the Instagram, really, yeah?
And he's actually got an image of ice hockey. Looks like the Edmonton Oilers, if I'm right. I could be wrong. But it looks like their jersey and maybe New Jersey. I don't know. I'd have to ask him myself. But he's got some fabulous images then of horses and, oh, this stuff is unreal. And like, he does actually the model 3D stuff as well, if you see some of that. So what he actually does is he goes underwater and he's got one, it's a second post, it's a video. And I actually know the dive site quite well. It's in Port Row, it's an inland quarry in Ireland, and out past Nina in Tipperary. And what he's done is he's went underwater and he's taken...
The place you were supposed to go diving recently and you couldn't go.
Correct, correct. So he's went underwater and they've got this mannequin, this freaky looking mannequin. And what he's done is he's taken so many photographs and turned it into a 3D model. I don't know how he does it. It's very interesting. He's got a few posts there, which is... They're quite familiar to me, but yeah, they're fantastic. Oh, did you see the grouper? Oh my God. I didn't
Isn't it unreal?
See that. It's the sixth image. Wow. Yeah. That's sick. That is unreal.
Yeah, incredible. Like, to even get that and to capture it with the light and everything on top of it.
Oh, unreal. My God. Wow. Wow.
Isn't it?
This is unreal. And if there are any scuba divers listening today and you are looking for a housing, first and foremost, buy my one because I have it up for sale. If you don't want to buy my one, you can always talk to Marco because he is an ambassador for Easy Dive. And their housings are actually really, really good because I know Noel Hickey has one and he's in love with it. So, yeah, so...
That's the same Noel Hickey that got the deal of the century off me for that 70-200, who in turn sold it on to Mark O'Brien
for profit.
At a profit. Yes. The same Noel Hickey. Come here, you know what, with Roman Diver as well here, interesting, is that got some great shots of coffee. Makes yeah. me want to have a cup of coffee right now. I mean,
do you like coffee?
Oh, I love coffee.
Do you? What's your coffee? What's your favourite?
Well, I've taken the lazy route. I mean, I'll go off and I'll buy the strongest that you can get in the Nespresso capsules. And I just pop it into the machine and bang, it's done. It's a lazy route, I know, but it is good. It's tasty. And you know, here's the interesting thing is that during the week I drink tea, but only at the weekend I drink coffee, and I drink a lot of coffee at the weekend. Side right. note, like. You know?
So if you're talking to someone who's never drank coffee before, what would you tell him to drink?
A cappuccino, which you did, and I made you have a sip off it when we were in Limerick one day.
Oh, it does, when I got nearly sick after drinking.
Yeah, the gawks.
Sorry, I don't want to do that online or on air to our listeners. Poor them.
Yeah. But you know what? Look, I think a very interesting profile. You know, I really do think I like, for me anyway, the whole use of negative space in the imagery, the whole composition in the imagery, the control of light in the imagery. And yeah, I think a very worthy person. So Roman Diver on Instagram. You know,
check him out.
Give him some love and tell him that the Irish Photography Podcast sent you.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, so that's the first segment out of the way. We're going to have a quick break from a word for one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Mr. BG. Are you sick of AA batteries? An ongoing cost? Constantly having to change them? Well, the Modus 360RT and 600RT speedlights are the ones for you. Available for Canon, Nikon, Sony and Fujifilm. It's got an extreme lithium-ion battery with a 1.5 second recycle time. That's four times faster than AA batteries. 600 shots at full power, 1,000 at a half. Available now at Hainel.ie. And you're very welcome back to the Irish Photography Podcast. I'm not laughing. I've got it right this time. I haven't made a boo-boo of anything. But with us here in studio, well, not really studio, but here with us is Bernard Geraghty from BG's Bits. Hi, buddy.
How are you getting on, boys?
Good.
Long time no chat.
It has been. Actually, do you know what? It's been way too long, man.
It is, but I think everyone's been just really busy, like really, really busy, which is obviously a good thing, and you kind of lose track of stuff, don't you, really?
Yeah, you're right. But you know what? I want you to do one thing. I just want you to hold that thought, okay? I want to play something for you, and it's just for you, Bernard. Well, it's for everyone, but bear with me now, right? I'm going to play this thing that I came across. By accident, of course, I was working on a job, and I have an Apple Watch, okay? And
it's not Baby Shark, is it?
No. What happens is, with your Apple Watch, sometimes when your hands get wet, you can change the speed of the track or whatever you listen to. So you can change it to times and a half. You can change it to, so they all sound like chipmunks. So by accident, my one changed to half speed. So I slowed down everything. And I was listening to the podcast of myself and Darren, and all of a sudden we sounded like absolutely drunk fools at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to play something where the three of us are featuring four of us. Oh yeah, Mel. All right, are you ready? I want you all to listen to this.
Yeah, go for it. Go.
Ireland, like it rains all the time. He obviously didn't do that. And he had to leave after like the second day.
Oh no!
It's like tip number one: have really good waterproof clothing, which you can get at 53 degrees north.
Shocker! Absolute shocker!
And also, put your stuff in dry bags. Like, we're living in probably the most rainiest country in all of the land.
Did you say rainiest?
That's a word.
That's a word.
Is it a word?
Probably the Irish dictionary. It's in
Fluck McCracken.
Fluck McCracken. Yeah.
He thinks that's a person.
I look him up there on Facebook later.
So
that's exactly how it would have sounded if we were inside the pub having a few pints of gin while we were recording 53 degrees north.
Oh my god, that is Fluck McCracken.
I put waterproof pints.
It just sounds like it sounds real weird, like at that pace when you're mentioning like dry bags and waterproofs.
Yeah, it does. And you know what? And that's the last time that we had you on, man. It's been a long time. And Jesus, man, you've had a very fast-paced time, I suppose, really, since we last spoke to you, unlike, obviously, that soundbite that we heard here. So where did you go, BG? You were in a lot of places, man. Where did you go after we were last with you? Tell us the highlights, buddy.
Was it Africa? that's how long it's been, really. I went to Africa for 3 weeks, Namibia and Botswana, and I shot wildlife and Astro and sand dunes and we got there and our bags didn't arrive with us, so we were in like the same clothes for 4 days. I was shooting like handheld landscape shots with a 150 to 600 with no tripod at low light, high ISO.
Wow.
Like, left a place called Sousafly, which is like the dunes and all the dead trees and stuff like that, because we drove 5 hours from Windhoek down there thinking our bags wouldn't be there for a few days. And then we spent one night, and we were supposed to spend 2 nights there. After the first night, the airport rang us like, oh, we'll have your bags today. We're like, okay. So we drove 5 hours back up to Windhoek. Wow. No bags.
Oh, man.
So it turned out, yeah, like we had literally 4 days of no, like one pair of clothes. Now, we did go and buy another pair of clothes and stuff like that. And every time I'd get a shower, I'd wash the clothes while I was in the shower.
Yeah.
Because obviously it was roasting. So you put them outside and they'd be dry in 10 minutes. But that was unbelievable, that trip. We done like safaris, we went on the Makarus, sand dunes,
What's a Makaru?
Makaru is like a kind of an African or Botswana or, you know, kind of kayak, or not kayak, canoe kind of thing.
Okay.
Where there's like a guy called, like, he's a polar. So you'd have two in each Makaru, and you'd have a polar, and he literally stands at the back and he rolls you through like, with a big massive... yeah.
Sorry.
So then we like got a helicopter over the Okavango Delta and stuff like that, where they take off the windows and doors, so you're literally hanging out by your seatbelt. It was incredible. But because it's been so long, I suppose it's hard to remember everything about it and all the details, because since then it's been hectic as well. And I think in the past few weeks, say in the past 3 weeks, I've had a group over from Switzerland, so the Swiss group that I did tours for.
First time doing that either, is it?
No, we do 4 a year.
Okay.
4 trips a year. So, but next year now we've Connemara and Mayo. So I decided to bring Jennifer, who's the owner of the company, over to Connemara for 4 days to recce, because she'd not been there before. So just in preparation for our tour next year. And we had the most amazing weather over there. And then we got back here on a Friday night to the airport, and then the Saturday morning we collected our group who were with us for a week, and for the whole week we just got the most unbelievable weather. We got everything, you know, we got mood, rain, sun, sunrises, sunsets, everything. And then I actually had you know Adrian and Hannah Gray, had them on a private tour along with another woman in Wicklow, and we got the most unbelievable weather there. With mist, like absolutely unbelievable mist. I've never seen anything like it in terms of the conditions and stuff like that. I'm just skipping on through all these because there's quite a lot to get through. But just the conditions that we got on the mornings, the weather in terms of during the day was blue skies, you know, obviously not great for photography. We kind of done the best we could in Wicklow with blue skies in the middle of the day, getting into forests and stuff like that. But in the mornings was just so incredible. Now, I believe it was like misty all over Ireland, you know, for a few mornings last week.
Mm.
And Adrian and Hannah actually had a week off work, and they actually went down to Ardmore for a few days after the workshop. And like, you know, they got beautiful astro images and again, more fog and stuff like that. So it was definitely like a really good way to, a really good week for them to take off, you know.
Mm. Incredible.
And it was incredible. It really was. And do you know, having that Swiss group over and seeing reactions, because again, they're landlocked. They're not used to the sea, obviously, unless they travel an awful lot. Mm-hmm. And there was kind of one guy, actually, he's a fan of the podcast now, Marcus. And
hello, Marcus.
I'll tell him to tune in and make sure he tunes in to listen to this on Friday. But he's actually, he's a very, very talented photographer. And I was quite nervous having him over on the Swiss trip because, like, I would definitely, like, he is talented, like, he is very, 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 very good. Mm-hmm. In terms of a client, like, definitely one of the best I've ever had in a group. You know,
better
he is
than me?
That good.
And me?
Oh, my God.
Better than the two of you put together, like.
That's not hard.
Then again, putting the two of you together probably drops the standard. No, but he was really, like, unbelievable. And I was quite nervous having him on because you're like, this guy is coming on a trip, his images are already amazing, so you're kind of thinking, what can you do to impress this guy especially? And he came over and the first thing he said was like, I want to work on composition. So we then he was like, you know, it turned out anyway, he was just unbelievable. He was just the most amazing client, never stopped laughing, smiling. It turned out he'd been with Jennifer and Sky in May. And he said, like, Sky, Dermot Juno, Sky from being there. And it's unbelievable. And he thought it was unbelievable. But he said Ireland was just, he said it was just, it blew his mind. It really did. I could physically see him upset leaving at the end of the trip. And having the groups like that, it's made me realise that Ireland is by far my favourite place to shoot ever. Like, ever. It is just unbelievable. And they really make you realise that, you know, because you see the reactions and stuff.
Yeah.
But he was genuinely, like, so shocked at Ireland. He just couldn't believe it because he didn't really know what to expect. And so much so now, he's actually coming back next year. He's booked to come back on our Donegal and North Coast trip next year. And he's talking about Connemara as well in September next year.
Excellent stuff.
And then, like, it's just so far we've had 15 different people. 15, because one of the guys that was here in April came in September, just gone as well. Right. So we had 15 different people out of 2 trips this year. Next year we're going to step it up to 4 trips. But out of the 15 people, next year there's about six or seven of them coming back.
Rule of boss, man. That's a compliment to you and your business, Bernard. The fact that you can provide such a service to all these photographers on a yearly basis and they all keep coming back.
Well, now this, like, just take into account, this is me doing the tour for Amazing View Photo Tours. So it's not actually arranged by me. I'm basically just the guide. They do all the organising. Obviously, I help them out with the accommodations and stuff.
But they keep basically coming back, so it's got to say it's
No. It's turning out now that Amazing View Photo Tours, they do trips all over the world. And they think that this Ireland could be their most popular by next year out of everyone. Alaska, Norway, Svalbard, Africa, Patagonia, like everywhere. And it's just these people that keep coming back and they're so blown away by Ireland. And then you're kind of like, wow, Ireland really is amazing, isn't it? Like,
it is.
And I find as Irish people, we actually want to get out of Ireland. I find people just want to get out of Ireland. And I think a lot of people don't appreciate what we have truly, you know. So that was probably the highlight. You know, Africa was unbelievable. And I suppose you can't really compare it to this particular topic. But out of the last few weeks, say after Africa, the highlight was just obviously the conditions and stuff like that, the fog. But seeing the reactions of these Swiss people was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really, really unbelievable. And I kind of got a few kind of tips then. And what would you say? Contacts. And hopefully now, fingers crossed, I'm in the process now of speaking to a couple of companies in America.
Hey.
Who on a bigger scale, again, about bringing people into Ireland, I want to concentrate more. I actually, if anything I've learned in the past few weeks or months is that I want to stay in Ireland more and travel abroad less.
Okay. You know? That's a much different change of tune for you. Whereas, you know, before you were very eager to get out and go to Isle of Skye. You must have been there 20 times. You wanted to go to Norway, Iceland, all these places. So, you know, now it's almost like you're settled at home. You don't want to leave.
It's not even that. Like, I still love going to these places. And I'm in Skye in a few weeks. And I'm in Norway in a few weeks. And you're coming, you know. And, you know, I'll not be like, oh, I'm not, you know, like unenthusiastic or whatever, but I'll still be as enthusiastic. But you know, if I can travel a little bit less and spend more time at home, I'd be really happy with maybe going to these places only once or twice a year. Like between November, in the next few weeks, I'll be back in Lofoten. Between that trip and next November, I'll have 5 trips to Lofoten done.
Amazing.
And like, although that's great, like it is amazing, like I don't want to do 5 trips to Lofoten every year. I don't want to do 5 trips to Skye every year. You know, I would prefer to put the effort into actually getting people into Ireland, because one thing they couldn't believe, these people, was that the fact that I said to them, they were like, the first thing they ask is, how busy is it? How many photographers will we see? Is there many Instagrammers? All this kind of stuff. And I said, listen, at the start of the trip, I said to the guys, I said, if we see 10 photographers, we'll be lucky. And we've seen about 6
yeah.
in the whole week.
There
they
go.
Couldn't believe that.
Wow. Well, look, if you think about it, right, the popular areas, as we know, like Iceland, has been, everybody's gone there from numerous different places. You go to, I've never been there, but I imagine a lot of people have yeah. been there, and it's full of photographers. You're vying for positions at the most popular spots. In Ireland, we all know it. We live here, we go photographing it, and maybe to a certain extent we can potentially take it for granted. But when somebody sees that coastal area or the glens, or even, you know, your photograph you were out the other day, I believe you posted something on Instagram where you lined up all your 7 cameras to take the shot.
The dark which edges.
Yeah.
The dark edges. But what happened during yeah. that? Something unexpected, where it wasn't loads and loads of people. It was what?
Well, there was this was a great story. Now, this was with the group I had up the north coast at the weekend. And, you know, there was six clients and myself. And basically I said, right, everyone wanted the middle shot, right? And I'd say, if I can take a shot, that's amazing. So to me, the higher perspective is better, you know? So going by the height of the people is how high I put the tripods. So Tig was the tallest, and, you know, Tig is an absolute gentleman from Cork, from Blarney, a good friend of Jerry O'Riordan's. But I put his tripod on the top, and then because you're shooting 70 to 200, you know, it's
minuscule.
You're not worried about the wide angle, someone yeah. being in the frame or whatever. So then about 6 inches lower, I put one of the other lads, and about 6 inches lower and lower and lower, and eventually I just put my tripod literally a foot above the ground. Everyone got that centre image. The light came in, lit up the dark edges. It was amazing. In the time it happened, there was local traffic coming every now and again. We'd set them up. The light, sunrise being like 10 minutes, next thing a car come, we'd have to move and redo it. We had to reset it up 4 times. Eventually the light came, lit up the scene amazing, and next thing, out of nowhere, lads, this was epic. Like, this Chinese woman, now, I she's definitely of Chinese origin and stuff like that, but I think they lived in America, and herself and her partner came, and she was in a white dress, and literally she was like standing waiting for us, because she just wanted to walk down. They didn't even have a camera, and all of a sudden we were like, do you want to walk down? And she's like, are you sure? And we were like, yeah, we got the shots, the light was still amazing. So we got her to walk down very middle of the dark hedges, and what happened, the wind started to pick up and was blowing the dress through all the light. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it was so unexpected, like, and now this wasn't with the Swiss group, this was with my own group from Ireland, but, like, none of the group had been to the Dark Hedges before, but they all wanted the shot, and I like going to the Dark Hedges, and there was nobody else there. There was like 3 or 4 other photographers arrived. I don't think they were local, but basically we're like, listen, if you can want to squeeze in, like, get as close as you can to one of our cameras that you're in the center. Do you know what, there's none of this like, oh yeah, like, I get the shot first, all this. It was basically get as many people in. At one stage there's about 11 cameras, like, all, and I think that's the way it should be. You know, so many people are like dominant of the spots, and, you know, someone's after making an effort coming from, regardless of it's just down the road or down the country, to get a shot. And especially this unique moment when this woman walks in with a white dress, starts walking down the dark hedges, blots of light coming through the trees, she's walking, next thing you have the camera on burst mode, and she, you know, next thing the light catches her, and the wind catches the dress, and the light catches the dress.
That is absolutely phenomenal. And it's something, if we could, Bernard, could you process one of them maybe, and we could put it up on the Facebook group?
What I'll do, actually, Keith Arkins. So Keith Arkins was on the trip. He's another listener of the podcast. He posted it up in the group.
Okay, brilliant.
Now, I'm definitely not going to get a chance to process it. Unfortunately, I'm well behind on my processing at the moment, but it was an amazing moment. He'd done a really nice edit of it, so if you scroll back through the group, or I can get him to repost it. Brilliant. it was a beautiful touch, and she was very patient, and then we got the partner to walk as well, and they walked hand in hand down. Class. And it was just one of those
moments,
you know. It was amazing, you know. And listen, I know we're kind of going on a bit, but just another thing then, I headed to Phoenix Park yesterday.
Yeah,
never shot there before. The plan was to go to Hoth with Ian and Anto, and I rang them at 5:30 and, you know, to meet them in Hoth. And Ian said, listen, I think we should go to Phoenix Park for some mist, hopefully. So I said, yeah, yeah, no problem. So we went, and oh my God.
Happy out? What happened?
I don't know. I'll see if I can show you now. I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but can you...
Oh, yeah. It's unreal.
Yeah. Wow.
It's interesting then, that you picked that shot there, BG, because...
Like, look at that.
The fog conditions over that morning were just incredible. And I think they were everywhere. And I remember I was driving up the road and I was like, oh man, I'd love to have been taking photos here. And all of a sudden I'd see all the photos coming in from Phoenix Park. And it was the whole way up. And I was like, okay, the following morning I'm going to do the same thing. Not a tap. Nothing.
Lads,
like, damn, missed it.
Watch
and
this,
the conditions
watch.
Were incredible.
Watch this, look. Like then the sun came up and...
Brilliant. That's fantastic, that? Man, yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to post those images colours. Up in the group so people can know what we're talking about, BG.
But you know what?
Yeah, that's true. I will. I'll actually get them up because they're finished. But even, I love this one. See the deer just against the tree?
Yeah.
Unreal.
But come here, Bernard. Thanks a million for coming on, genuinely. But we have to make sure now to get you back again in 4 weeks' time because we need to talk about what we're going to do and what we're going to plan for Norway the next time you're on, if that's okay with you, buddy.
Yeah, I agree. Yep, 100%.
Fantastic. So, BG, thanks a million for coming on, man. Really, really appreciate it. We love having you on every few weeks, and it's very entertaining because, the places that you get to go to are just absolutely epic. So, thank you very much, buddy. And, look, we'll talk to you in the next cartoon, all right?
Cartoon. Good luck, BG.
See you later, byes.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Do you want to take your photography up a level? Do you want to hit that shutter from 100 feet away? Or perhaps you'd like to take your images remotely. With a built-in motion, light and sound sensor, you can capture unique shots and incredible time lapses. The Capture Pro from Hainel has got all that covered and more. Visit hainel.ie.
And you're very welcome back to the Irish Photography Podcast. So our last topic today, guys, was we're going to be talking about the Sunday Showcase. And again, if you're new to the show, come tune into our Facebook group every Sunday evening around, what time is it, Darren?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, we have what's called the Sunday Showcase. So what we like to do is get you to post your favourite photographs that you shot throughout the week, and even the week prior if you didn't get a chance to post them. We're not too heavy on rules and stuff like that. But look, all this is in aid of what's called the Irish Photography Podcast Photographer of the Year Award, which will be held in January. So we want you to keep posting your pictures and show us what you got. Show us the skills that you have. So this week, what we're going to do, guys, Darren's going to talk about three photographs that he saw in this week's showcase. And I'm going to talk about three photographs that I saw in the prior week. So Darren, I'll leave you go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, no worries, man. Look, I was looking at the ones from the last week on the Sunday and had to pick three. It was hard to pick three, man. There's some incredible talent.
It's
talent that's posting in the group, and it's amazing just to see the variety of talent and styles of photography and some incredible understanding of the different aspects of photography every week when we look at that. So for everybody that's posted on it, all the shots are fantastic. And like I said, it was really hard for me to pick three. But I picked three, and I suppose I picked three completely different images for different reasons. First image I picked was by Shane O'Connor. And this shot that Shane took just really caught my eye right away. It's an image that he took of a Beetle convertible, but he took as a panning shot, and he captured the Beetle perfectly with movement in the background. But the image in the background, the colours are absolutely phenomenal. So it really grabs your attention. It's like something from a movie, and it really has motion within the image. I really liked it. It jumped right off the screen to me, you know.
It's something like, it breaks all the rules. It really does. But it looks like a toy car.
Yeah.
And it's sharp to the eye from now, but look, whether it is or not tack sharp, it's still fabulous, and the colors, it's almost like ICM, in camera movement, which it is really, in a sense. If it's panning, you're using a slow shutter speed and you're trying to match the speed of the car that's moving. So Shane O'Connor, well done, man. A fabulous image.
Absolutely. I think it was phenomenal. Like I said, it jumped off the screen to me. The next one that I picked is from actually interesting, Bernard mentioned about it, the morning in Phoenix Park, because it's an image from that morning. It's taken by Anthony Lynch, who he mentioned who he was with. But the photograph that he took is of the Papal Cross, and you can see that in the background, but the silhouette of two deer surrounded by fog, and he's got it framed by the trees above him. I think it's
and a heavy vignette then,
and a heavy vignette. It's a beautiful shot. It really jumped off to me again and brought me into the scene. I went, hang on, I gotta look at that more. Now, I've seen some other images that have been phenomenal on this, but I just think that this one itself really kind of brought me right in and wanted me to be in that scene with the fog even more. Like I said, I missed it, you know.
Do you know what, Darren? It's the front cover of a horror film.
Yeah, there's something with it, like it really does.
It's just creepy as hell. Fabulous photograph. I mean, it's sublime. I mean, like the silhouettes, and it's just, wow, what an image.
It's incredible. And then the third image that I spotted was something, I think, and the reason why it resonated to me was Sean
O'Riordan.
I'm
curious about this one.
Yeah, Sean O'Riordan. So Sean O'Riordan is a member, obviously, from the Full Irish, and he was on the podcast with us when we went on tour. And Sean, you know, gets out around the Limerick area, but the Clare area and stuff like that. And he put up an image, and I immediately saw it, and I went, wow, look at that first scene. But then I went, what is it? Oh, okay, it's Doon Beg. And I went, oh, Doon Beg, okay, Trump Towers. And obviously Trump isn't one of the most, you know, I suppose, popular people in a number of places. But I saw him post the image and I liked it. And then all of a sudden I saw that he posted the image as well on a group on Facebook. I think it was the Wild Atlantic Way group. I think the post has since been deleted. But the amount of people that jumped on there complaining about Trump and giving a hard time in regards to the photograph that Sean had taken, which was getting loads of angry faces, loads of thumbs down and everything else. And I was like, but it's a lovely shot.
He doesn't deserve that.
He doesn't deserve it. I mean, it's a lovely shot. And I'm like, hang on a second, you know. And then look, to be fair, Mark O'Brien put up a comment, you know, as always, to come to the defence of others and in regards to Sean, and said, like, all you're giving out about everything else, but really, have you anybody spared a thought in regards to the photographer, Sean O'Riordan, who was taking this shot? I mean, he went out and he took a lovely shot, you know. That's why he posted to share it. But, I mean, I wanted to reply, but when I tried to reply, the post was deleted. And I just said to Mark, what I want to say to Mark, so I'll say it to him on the podcast now, was, Mark, you're confusing this with a photography group. It's not a photography group. It's a group of people who love the Wild Atlantic Way, which will in general be from the US. So they look at this, they see the whole controversy that's been happening recently in regards to when Pence visited Ireland, he stayed in Doon Beg, and all of
that's
a sudden
right.
They see this and it's like bang, and it's just, oh, okay, an opportunity to vent. So, you know, I said, you know what, I think it's a lovely shot. I think he's, you know, taken a great shot. He got some lovely light, but yeah, it didn't deserve the controversy, I suppose, that came with the photo.
Not
so that's,
at all.
You know, so that's why I picked, I suppose, that one from the third one. Great shot, Sean.
Yeah, it is a lovely shot, but compositional wise, I'm not mad about it. It's got a fabulous sky. It's really, especially from the left hand side, it's got that sun just coming up and it's kind of backlighting the image. The foreground is lovely, but it's just, it's not striking the main subject matter in the middle. But nonetheless, it's still a nice photograph. But yeah, he did not deserve whatever went on in that Wild Atlantic group, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, they're my three picks from last week's showcase. And I think, you know, all great shots, like I said, that were posted there, but they're just the three that I wanted to talk about from what it resonated with me anyway, and hopefully it's resonated with others and similar when they would have seen these images. What are your three, Dermot?
So, Darren, my three photographs that I selected would have been from the week prior. So it would have been from the 15th of September. Now, the first image that I grabbed that just really stuck out with me like a sore thumb, and it's absolutely unreal. And you know me now, I don't go for black and white pictures all that much. I'm all about color, vibrance, saturation, all that. Yeah, I love things to pop. But this image from Graham Kelly was just absolutely to die for.
It's beautiful.
It's a black and white image, and it has to be simply the moodiest sky that I've ever seen in a photograph. I mean, it looks so menacing, and it's got this lovely composition. So you've got all these sheep in the field, or the cows, I don't know, on the left-hand side. And then you've got this wall swooping around of this old castle. I don't know where he shot the photograph, but it's just a superb photograph. Graham Kelly, take a bloody bow, my friend. Wow, well done.
I agree. I think it's a great shot. And I think, you know, as you said, the sky there is really menacing. But I think what jumps to me is the way the clouds are framing the structure and making the structure pop even more. It's kind of white right behind them against the darkness, and that works perfectly from the whole mono aspect. So yeah, absolutely, Graham, beautiful shot, great choice.
Yeah, yeah. And our second one is Darren, this is getting weird now, this is funny. A photograph from Keith Harkins.
Oh yeah.
Who Bernard also talked about. Now again, I don't know where the image is from, but it looks like somewhere like the Clare Glens or something like that, you know.
That's so probably it's Wicklow with Bernard.
Probably. So it's a lovely composition. It's a bit busy in the left-hand side. I think maybe a slightly tighter crop would have suited a bit better. Nonetheless, it's still a fabulous picture. Lovely saturated greens. They're just really popping. And you have this lovely waterfall over to the right-hand side. So yeah, I really like it. And you know what he's done as well? He hasn't went along and boosted up the sharpness and the clarity. He's almost went negative clarity ever so slightly to give that kind of soft glow to not an autumn feel, but a kind of a wood foresty feel, if you know what I mean.
I do, and I agree with your choice. I think it's a lovely shot. If I was to give any small bit of, I suppose, critique, would be to change the composition not to as wide. If you look at the left-hand side of the image, it's quite dark with the tree, and you've got the rock. Yeah. Take out the trees and you've got the brightest part on the right-hand side. Change it to a 5x4 portrait crop, and bang, you've got a beautiful image. I think it starts off with a small waterfall on the left hand side and finishes with the big, and that's a beautiful waterfall actually in the centre of the image.
It is.
Nice shot, another great choice, Dermot.
I know, I'm getting good at this, aren't I?
You are. What's the third one?
Last image, this is brilliant. Okay, the photograph itself isn't exactly unreal, okay, but it's a moment that was captured. And that's the thing about wedding photography. It's all about capturing moments. So this guy, whoever this wedding photographer is, I have no idea.
Not a true story.
Not a true story. Brought this couple over to Ladies View, is what it looks like, in Kerry. And lo and behold, our buddy, our special guest from 2 weeks back, Adrian Neal, pomosed some sort of a deer to come up and say hello to this lovely wedding couple. And he went away and he grabbed the photograph. And not only has it just been a wonderful moment, but this thing has gone viral. It's gone all over the place, all over the world. And it's a fabulous moment captured. And you know what? Not many more people in the whole world will have something like this.
I agree. I think it's a great photograph. And, you know, it's amazing that he took this photograph on the week that he recorded the episode with ourselves. So what a phenomenal week for Adrian. But you know what impresses me most about this is the spot that they're stood on is exactly the same spot that we stood on when we did the four of us with Full Irish. So you remember that we had to go down to a rocky outcrop to get out to that edge of it. And you had your camera set up way, way back on a Zoom.
Yeah.
So that deer was on a mission to go out to that very edge of that outcrop. Just so happens, obviously, that they were there as well. I wonder, was he or she attracted to the bouquet of flowers that the bride had? But, you know, you say that it's nothing major. I think it's really good because it captures the emotion and the happiness on both their faces, and more so the surprise. And I think that's what makes the image itself, makes it stand out even more so. So, yeah, again, you know, Bula Basse, Adrian, an incredibly lucky shot. But I think, moreover, a great shot to take and a great shot taken.
Yeah, I agree. Couldn't agree with you more. It's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. Well done, Adrian, buddy. Proud of you.
Yeah, three good choices there, Dermot, man. I think, you know, we should do this more often. We should have a jump into the Sunday Showcase. Maybe we should do it again on a once a month basis and keep up with people as well, how they're getting on with the photographer of the year, because I think there's incredible talent, man. It's just amazing the amount of talent that's out there, and people mm-hmm. be posting these images in the group and the community, and the feedback and the conversations, it's phenomenal. So yeah, hats off to everybody who's posting on a Sunday. And I'm looking forward now to looking at more from the next month and talking about them again next month.
Yeah. So enough about all our lovely listeners. Let's come back to you just for a minute.
Okay. Now,
we have supposed to be doing a mission. So this is supposed to be the top 10 photographs of the year. And it's a very hard exercise to do, but very worthwhile. How are you doing on that side of things?
I'm doing good on it, actually. I've been doing them on a regular basis. I haven't done it all the time because I've gone into different projects that I'm working on when I go taking photos. But I have gone purposely then as well, just back over after maybe 2 or 3 weeks and saying, okay, what do I want to press that B button on to be able to bring it into that catalogue? And, you know, I think it's going to be a phenomenal exercise to do, because as you go through the different months of the year and the different seasons of the year, you'll see different types of photographs that you would have taken and where it would bring you. And these are the highlights of your year as such. So even to go from there to do the process of elimination to whittle it down to a smaller number, to ultimately whittle it down to one, I think it's going to be very interesting concept and a very interesting project overall for the year, to sum it up, because I definitely will see a change in my photography in this year alone versus the photography I've taken last year. And I'm sure by the time it comes to 2020, going along that journey and then at the end of the year reliving that again, like I'll do at the end of this year, would be incredible, you know. So I've really enjoyed it so far, like I say, but I haven't been doing it every time I bring in a set of photos, but I have been purposely going back over a group of them to press that B button. What about you?
Awesome. Yeah, I've been doing quite well recently. I've gotten a few bangers, quite happy, and belting that B key quite often. When I do get
B
out,
for banger.
B for banger, that's what we'll call it. B for banger.
Yeah.
The banger key. Hit the banger key, man. Boom, boom, boom. PR Peter McKinnon, smash that shit. Oh, sugar, sorry. Or something along the lines of that. But I've really enjoyed it. It makes me want to get out more. It makes me feel good about myself when I come home and I get that Lightroom catalogue open and I see that B for banger. And I press it and I'm like, yeah, smashed it. Got one in the bag. Yo. You know, so yeah, look, come here, guys. I think that's about it for tonight. Come here, look, if you want to jump on the Facebook group, please do. We'd love to have you. We're over 800 members now at this stage. So thank you very much to all our lovely listeners and all our lovely members. 800 as of the other day.
Wow.
Now, it should be over 1,000, Darren. It's just that I'm turning away people on a daily basis simply because all you have to do is answer one simple question. Please name a host of the Irish Photography Podcast. All you have to say is Dermot or Darren. I'll even accept you if you say shithead or something. I don't know. Something, you know. Just
that's your
to
nickname
say that
anyway, isn't it?
My wife calls me that, yeah.
There you go, yeah. True story.
But yeah, look, just even if you name Bernard or anyone that has been a guest on the podcast. And don't forget, our members, you can invite people to join the group also. So I've seen a few people do it. So yeah, once I see that invite go up, I almost don't even check. I goes, yeah, as long as our members vouch for him, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it'll be interesting to see as time goes on with the Facebook group too. There's been great conversations, great questions asked to the community, and great answers being given as well by the community. So absolutely, if you're not in the Facebook group, we, you know, pop on over, answer that question. Simple, really. Name any one of us, as you say, and join that conversation.
Excellent. All right, so Darren, I'm going to see you next week, buddy, and make sure you have your happy face on, okay?
I always have my happy face on. Yeah, listen, thanks a million, man. Really enjoyed it. Enjoyed catching up with BG. And again, schlange vor.
Hey, yo.
Hey, guys. If you dig what you're hearing, why don't you jump over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts? Give us a 5-star rating, and don't forget to share with your friends. With all that done, we'll see you next week. And remember, keep shooting.